Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reed. Hey, everybody. Good Monday evening.
Good Monday.
Yeah, good Monday.
Damn, it's raining like a mofo out here.
Yeah,
I know. We're flooding. I've got the pontoons attached to the camper, and we're just going to ride this out.
Yeah, everybody laughs that we ride around with our kayaks all the time, but, you know.
You never know.
You know, when they're stuck, we're good. But, yeah, you know, it's pretty sad. Northeast is getting waylaid with, Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
Being affected by it.
But, it is Monday, and you're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap on iTunes, iHeart, Blog Talk, TuneIn, and I don't know if I forgot it. Oh, yeah, I might have forgot something, but, you know.
It's been a long weekend.
Yes. So, you know,
we have good news.
What's the good news?
We have good news. We have a special guest.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Who is it?
Well, somebody clue me in. I want to know who it is.
I want to know who it is too. I'm sitting here.
Oh, come on! We have with us Steve, and I'm gonna botch this.
Deshaun.
That's close enough. It works.
Deshaun.
Shabby, yeah.
Shabby, okay, there we go. I knew I was going to watch it somehow. DeChevy. It's not a DeFord.
Yeah, it's Steve DeChevy, yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, not DeChevy, not DeFord,
DeChevy.
It's DeChevy, yeah.
Yeah, DeChevy. it is great to have Steve on with us tonight because, I mean, his background is impeccable, even though he was a Marine. 21 years of active service in New York. If you say pogue, I'll come right through the radio after you.
Never.
I've one of my closest friends, Jeff too, is an ex-Marine, and we go and they have a newborn who's just starting to talk, and I'm Army and he's Marine Corps, you know, so I have to sit there and go, say Army, and then his reply is, say pogue.
That's awesome.
So, but you know, it's great. And Steve, thank you for coming on to the show tonight.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I love your intro music too. That's me. I'm all about Black Sabbath. So
you are a metalhead, aren't you?
I am a metalhead. You know, not a metalhead like that Slayer stuff, but I am a hard rock guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you play drums, don't you?
I do. I was playing a little Van Halen. It's funny because I got a T-shirt somebody bought me and said, I may be old, but I got to see all the good bands. So,
I need that T-shirt.
I love it.
I need that T-shirt. You know?
Absolutely.
We sat one day, and it's like, Led Zeppelin, yep, saw them. Aerosmith saw them. Yeah. That was when music was good.
Yeah, somebody told me, I saw a Fishing concert. I'm like, what? What did you just say? I said, I saw Zeppelin, Sabbath, AC/DC, and I think it was Boston all within a year. Get out of my face, Fish.
Ready for this one? The weirdest concert that I ever went to. This was Cheap Trick. Do you remember Cheap Trick?
I do. I remember them well.
Okay. Now, opening for Cheap Trick. Are you ready? AC/DC.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yep.
Well, I saw Kiss and Rush open for them, and that's how I became a fanatical Rush fan. And this is going way back.
Actually, they did that. They actually stopped with that tour here at the at King's College in Wilkes-Barre. Back in the golden ages of the 70s.
So you need one of those shirts.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So, you know, we got a great show tonight. You know, we're great. It's great to have you on here. This is what, season
10 is on air right now. Yeah, it's our last season that we filmed. So,
and you know, you along with Amy Allen, two totally. The thing I really like, I love about your show, is so different. You didn't fall,
did you? Are you okay?
No, I'm sorry. That was me grabbing my fish food. I apologize.
Those damn centipedes.
I feed my fish every night, and I apologize. Yeah, I keep forgetting how sensitive these mics are these days. You know, not like they were years ago.
It's all good. I've got dogs barking in the backyard, so.
So we're good.
We are golden. I apologize for that. That's just that it's that golden time when the fish are looking at me. And they're like, all right, what's up?
So when you're not feeding your fish.
Yeah.
Or filming for Dead Folks. I mean, the uniqueness of your show is, you know, the whole dynamic of it, because you're taking two totally different aspects. Your skill set is very precise. Your skill set is very forensic.
I'd say it's pragmatic. You know, it's kind of black and white. There's no gray area with my stuff. So,
you know, how do you,
there's no weird stuff about what I do. It's you. It is what it is.
Right. So, you know, how did this whole thing develop with you getting involved in the paranormal, coming from, you know, a strict police and
homicide detective.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an odd story. I didn't really get involved in a paranormal. It kind of got involved with me, I guess you could say. You know, I've told the story a million times. I mean, I was on a documentary for ABC News, and after it aired, the creator of The Dead Files, Jim Casey, was pitching a show to a network executive who happened to be at Discovery Channel, who owns the Travel Channel now, about a private investigator and a show regarding a private investigator. And the guy saw me on the documentary, and he said, well, I saw a guy on this documentary that would be perfect for, you know, doing that kind of show. And then Jim reached out to me. You know, fast forward, we did a couple of pilots. Everybody said I was too New York for them, and I was too rough around the edges. And then David Gerber from the Travel Channel, who's no longer with them, you know, took the plunge and said, you know what, I think this would be a good show. And he pitched this show where I had nothing to do with the paranormal, but I was involved with the investigation. Because I wouldn't do the show if I was out there with a flashlight going boogity boogity and all this horse shit. And, you know, I wouldn't have done it. You know, I had nothing against that. And I really mean that wholeheartedly. Nothing against that. That's not me. I mean, I did surveillance for 22 years, and the last thing I want to do is sit around waiting for something to happen. That's just not my thing. You know, when I sat around and waited for something to happen, usually somebody got shot. You know, there wasn't no whisper or, you know, a shadow going by you. So for me, it's just plunge. I was a little skeptical at first, not about the paranormal, but about doing the show. Because I think, you know, my reputation, my integrity is all I have. I don't have anything else. And I didn't want to jeopardize that just to be on television. And I wasn't going to do that just to be on television. So when people ask me, do you believe in this crap? I'm like, I never said I didn't believe in the paranormal. I'm an open-minded skeptic, and I still am to this day. I just, you know, I never had an experience, and I probably never will. And that doesn't mean I can't believe what people are going through. You know, our clients are pretty, it's heartbreaking. You know, our clients are like crime victims to me, you know, and that's how I approach things. And if you look at a crime victim like I have over the years, and you look at how they suffer, and you look at our clients that's suffering, that's going on with the paranormal, it's not that much different. You know, it's probably even worse, because you can't see who the hell's messing with you.
Right.
And we vet very well on our show, so it's not like we have, you know, I got the guy who calls in, oh, my penis is haunted, can you come help me out? You know, we don't have that kind of stuff. We don't do that. But, you know, we filter and we vet very well, and unfortunately, we only do 13 episodes a season, so we have several thousand submissions, and it's hard to pick and choose what episode or what investigation you're going to do. And most of the time, if it involves children or the elderly or anybody with special needs, we jump on that first, obviously. You know, and, you know, fans get clear, well, you should go to the Mackey, whatever the hell that place is, and you should do this place. And I'm like, why would we go there if nobody's in trouble, nobody's in distress? Makes no sense, right?
Your show's a totally different aspect of the paranormal. You're actually going out and working with families and you know, people who are in, well, exactly, in distress.
Yeah, and you want to help them. Me going to a place like the Mackey, whatever the hell it is, and telling them, hey, your place is haunted. We already knew that. I mean, well, okay, we just wasted a whole episode, and then there's a family with three kids being terrorized by whatever the hell's in the house, and they're sitting home saying, I wish they were here. You know what I mean? So when fans tell me we should go here and go there, I'm like, really? I mean, do you know the show? Do you watch it?
I love his attitude.
Absolutely.
I was like, this is great. We're going to have such a blast. And the funniest thing was, is, you know, we were talking before the show started, and he swore, and he goes, is it okay to say that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I've been chastised a few times before, especially with radio shows hooked up by the Travel Channel, because, you know, everything with them is, you know, butterflies and kittens and shit like that. So,
absolutely.
God forbid you say
that's
shit, they lose their mind.
Yeah. You need to be who you are, and you know, and that's, you know, and that who you are really comes through in your show, because you do have that. No nonsense, Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, I never changed who I was to be on television. I mean, I get edited like you can't imagine. I mean, you have no idea how I look at the show and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy that, you know, they're portraying? I'm like, I don't remember that being so nice. You know, because I'm getting people's faces. I have no problem doing that. If I think you're lying to me or if I think you're bullshitting, I'm going to call you out on it. And, you know, that's just me protecting Amy and protecting the integrity of the show. I'm not going to jeopardize my reputation because we're on television. The producers can go fuck themselves. It's all about me making sure that these people are legit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
totally. We totally agree. And, you know, that's what makes you such a unique person who is in the paranormal field. And, you know, whether you like it or not, you're in the paranormal field.
No, I get it. And I have no problem. I embrace it. But my thing is people like,
but I,
you know.
I think it's so awesome that you are so real and so blunt.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't help myself. I'm 55. I'm not going to change at this point. You know? I'm an old guy, so I'm not, you know, I'm not changing at any time soon.
55, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I can relate 55. To that.
I can't even get out of bed in the morning without groaning. It's getting bad, but you know.
We got a couple of people in the chat room. I'm going to check and see if there's any questions for you, but you know. If you wouldn't mind, like, just, I know I touched on, and Chris touched on it briefly, homicide detective, Marine. Anything else you'd like to tell people about yourself other than metalhead and drummer?
I'm a simple guy. You know, I know I'm very serious on TV because of obviously the content is serious. So, you know, you can't have me yucking it up, you know, doing an investigation. But when I'm not working, I'm all about having laughs and enjoying life. You know, if you follow my Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, you know, unlike Amy, you know, Amy's always like, oh, I'm sick today. I'm doing more, you know, she's all about the whatever, the negative shit. And I'm like, not me. I'm having a bourbon with the guys. You know, I'm out here fishing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm all about life's too short. I've seen too much death in my life to to really not try to enjoy it. You know, my father died at 57. I was 17, you know, when he died. And I'm like, he was 57, and he bought his first new car a month before he died. So for me, it's like, you know, this is a World War II vet who struggled his whole life. He was a Teamster. You know, this is a man who just he was on D-Day, you know, was on Normandy Beach, and he didn't get to enjoy life to its fullest because his life was taken too soon. And I'm like, life's too short. And I've seen it all. And I'm like, I'm going to enjoy life. You know, screw the money. If I can't afford something, how would I worry about it later? You know, it is what it is, right? I mean, if you can't enjoy life, you know. And that's me basically in a nutshell. I'm just a regular guy, born and raised in Brooklyn, came up on the streets. I was raised very poor. You know, we didn't have a lot. We lived comfortable in a sense. I mean, today, by today's standards, it would be considered poverty, but I didn't know any better. You know, if we had meat once a week, it was a lot. But, you know, came from humble beginnings. I'm a humble guy, and when fans meet me on the street, they get that right away. They're like, he's just a regular guy. I'm like, yeah, you know, just because you're on television doesn't mean you can't be a regular person. You know, these people, these actors that afford themselves. I'm like, really? I'm like, what do you think you're doing for a living? You're not curing cancer. You're not doing anything worthwhile other than being in front of a camera. So to me, it's like, I'm not doing anything great. I mean, I'm helping people, which I like, but other than that, I'm not doing anything. You know, I ain't getting the Nobel Peace Prize by any stretch, but you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah, absolutely. We do have a caller calling in, so hold on one second. Paranormal Collaboration, hi, who's this? Hello?
Hey, Bill, it's Steve. How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Good. I thought I'd listen in.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had a question for Steve.
No, I'm sorry. I met him once in Boston or Salem one time, and had a good time, except for the maybe the bar's closing too early, but I hear what goes on in Salem Con stays there. So, yeah,
we did have a good time at Salem Con. I remember that well. I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we had a fight with the bartender because they were closing the bar. They wouldn't serve us any more drinks. I remember that night.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was with Brian Kano and a couple other people, and I was like, yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm spending a couple $100 here. How about you just one more round? And it was the big deal.
Yeah, what
the guy was such a douche.
Oh, it's a happy hour, and we all ordered like three or four drinks or whatever to get into our happy hour, and then 5 minutes later he says, no, you got to get rid of them all. So after everyone spent that money, we're like, what the hell?
Right? What a douche. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. No, but, I definitely enjoyed you as a guest that time. So it was quite fun to meet up with you and stuff.
Right. And I'm a regular guy, right? I'm not this, you know, I like making fun of myself like you should. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm probably the only guy
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I'm probably one of the few people that post himself after he gets out of bed in the morning and gets scared when he's looking in the mirror, and I post a picture of it. I'm like, I just scared myself. I mean, that shows you how much I take myself seriously.
Yeah, well, you did an awesome job. Everyone there loved you being there. And
I appreciate
that.
Thank you, Steve.
Everybody, you know, charging money for autographs, you gave a couple autographs to my daughters for free and stuff. That was very nice of you.
No, I won't charge. If you're not, you're welcome. No, I won't do that.
Yeah.
It's probably why I don't get invited to any Paracons.
Hey, I do have a season ticket to the Cowboys, so if you ever want to go to watch the Giants.
No, let's not go there.
All right. Hey, I'm going to sign off with you. I just wanted to say hi and I'm glad that you're on the show so I can hear your stories.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you.
All right,
thanks, Steve,
care.
For calling in.
All right, Steve, all right, talk to you later.
Yeah, we had a good
Salem
time in Paracon.
Salem Con and bar fight.
Salem,
there you
Salem.
Go.
Yeah.
We love Salem Con.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't get invited to any of these the Paracon shows because I won't charge for my photos, and you know they're like, oh, that's going to be your salary. I'm like, kiss my ass. I ain't getting on a plane so I could charge people for my picture. You know, you're making coin, either pay me or, you know, I ain't coming. So the hell with it, you know. I mean, I'm losing probably a lot of money, but I sleep on that end of it. You know what I mean? I don't take advantage of fans. I'm not going to charge them, you know. Oh, here's a picture of me wiping my ass. Here, give me $25. Yeah, it's bullshit.
People have to remember that, you know, if they're on TV, they're there because of the fans.
Thank you.
And, you know, what
and that's my whole point. You know.
Now, what the hell's the signature?
You know, maybe 5 years from now or maybe this year, who knows? You know, I'm not longer doing a show, and my only income is going to these events. And, you know, and I still probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably just clean toilets. I'd rather do that than charge a fan for a photo. I mean, I know everybody hates me out there in TV land, you know, all the others, you know, Amy charges for photos, or this guy charges, sell DVDs. I have no problem with that. Knock yourself out. Just, you know, don't force me to do something I'm not comfortable with.
You know,
right.
You got to do you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have two things in the chat room. She has a question for you, and she also says she loves to hear that about you, that you don't do that.
Oh.
Tina.
I appreciate
Tina has a question. The question is, have you ever personally been affected by energy at all? And were you ever touched, pushed, or interacted with?
No and no. I know that nobody wants to hear that, but no and no. And probably won't happen. I feel energy with the living. I can sense when something's going to jump off. If I'm in a bar, I can tell you that a fight's about to jump off. Or if I walk on the street and it's crowded and I can sense, you know what, something's not right here. Let me back up. Let me get my back against the wall. Let me survey the whole scene. But as far as the paranormal goes, I got nothing at all. You know, I'd be interviewing people, and they'd be like, don't you feel it, the heavy? I'm like, no, leave me the – I don't. Leave me the fuck alone. I don't feel it. Just tell me your story. I don't feel this, so let's move on. Let's get past that. And they're like, well, how can you not feel it? I'm like, what part of what the fuck I just said do you not understand? I don't feel it. Just tell me what happened, you know. It's not that hard. You know, I don't feel it. I guess people are frustrated with me because I'm not having experiences and to me, I think it brings more credibility to the show because it's not like I'm going around and, ooh, I felt that, and yeah, Amy, I understand what you were going through. No, let me do my part and you do yours. And I'm not trying to be a tough guy or anything. If I don't feel anything, I'm not going to lie about it.
Right. Now, I know you are probably asked this and get tired of answering it, but like on our team, our medium Tina Marie actually works with FBI, CIA, local and state police, working on missing people cases, recovering bodies, and she's got an amazing accuracy record. As a homicide detective, have you ever worked with or had been asked to work with a medium?
I have worked with psychics on a couple of homicides I've had, on cases where I had no leads whatsoever, no workable leads anyway. And I've worked with a couple of psychics. You know, I don't denounce that. The problem is that most of the law enforcement community mocks it, number one. Two, it's not admissible in court. But if you're open-minded like I was, you'll take a lead wherever you can get it. And if I gotta go to a psychic to try to get a case, especially on a missing, you know, we know somebody's missing and they're probably dead and we're trying to find the body at least, you're goddamn right I'm going to use whoever I can. And if that involves using a psychic, and I have a couple of times. Unfortunately, on my cases, the psychics didn't really do any good for me. But that doesn't mean they're not helpful in other cases.
Okay.
So I'm very open-minded to that. It's just that the law enforcement community as a whole is very skeptical of it. And you can understand it because there's a lot of whack jobs out there that says, you know, oh, you know, I had one guy come in with a cigar and he's blowing smoke and looking into the smoke and telling me, yeah, I see this and I see that. I'm like, bro, get the fuck out of my office. Are you kidding me? Get the hell out of here. You know, you're blowing smoke in my fucking office and telling me you're seeing this and seeing that. Yeah.
Tina Marie, is actually in the chat room now. She says she appreciates your honesty on that.
I'm sure she's very good and very helpful for the unit she's working with. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, you know, when you're working a case and you're trying to get some information and you got nowhere to go, why not use a psychic or somebody that can help you with something you can't do? I have no problem with that. My problem is the people trying to make a name for themselves or even the half whack jobs out there that, you know, they actually believe some of the shit they're saying to themselves. And, you know, that's where people like Amy and Tina lose. Yeah. And they lose their credibility because other people like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like everything else. You're like, there's bad cops out there. Yeah. But it's a very small percentage, but that small percentage reflects on everybody else. So
exactly.
You know, yeah.
So we are just about at the halfway mark, so we are going to take a quick break. And
really already?
Yeah, 30 minutes already. Holy shit.
Wow. Now I have to get a bourbon. All right.
Really? All right, now you got to get a bourbon.
This time
you need to loosen up a little bit, Steve. Damn.
And that's on coffee. Imagine if I was drinking.
So we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back after these tunes.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. They're fat big balls and they're fancy big balls. And he's got big balls and she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
And my balls are always bouncing and my ballroom always full. And everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls. Oh, I've got big balls. And I've got big balls. Dirty big balls. And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Some balls are held for charity and some for fancy dress. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night.
Oh,
we've got big balls!
Welcome back. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with your hosts, Bill and Chris Reap. Tonight, our guest, thankfully, he is taking time out from sweeping up centipedes and feeding his fish, and he just poured himself a bourbon and ice, and so things are about to get even more fun. Tonight, Steve DeChevy, Steve DeChevy from the Dead Files, New York homicide detective, now living the sunny life and enjoying life, and working on the Dead Files. And we have been having an absolutely amazing time talking to Steve. And we've had a caller. We've got a couple people in the chat room. In fact, I believe we have a caller waiting to talk.
Yeah, I'll bring him right in.
So, hey.
Paranormal Collaboration.
Hey.
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 Hi.
Hi.
It's our very own Tina Marie. How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're
good.
Great.
Did you have your coffee, first and foremost? Did you have coffee?
I did. I had coffee.
Okay,
today.
Steve, you're safe.
You're safe.
I had coffee. I'm on the bourbon. I'm good now.
Oh, well, that's even better. I have a question.
Uh-oh.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Do you find there's a big difference between what you do on the show and
mm-hmm.
what you did working the streets?
Well, obviously there's a huge difference. I mean, what I did on the streets is very dangerous concept and
right.
dealing with the crime. I consider our clients crime victims. So basically what I'm doing on the street, on the show, is what I would have done on the street as far as interviewing a crime victim and consoling them for some time, for some parts of it, and then digging in and trying to figure out, all right, let's try to figure out who did this. So it's in a sense the same type of pragmatic investigation without the danger on my end. You know, the danger is always on Amy's end. But, you know, people are like, oh, my God, you're so brave to go into these homes. I'm like, no. You know, getting shot at and dealing with drug dealers and working hard, that's dangerous. To me, this is a cakewalk. You know, this is basically a third of what I used to do, but it's very much similar in the way I approach it. You know, the people that are dealing with the paranormal are crime victims, and the paranormal is my perpetrator. I have to figure out who it could be, and then let Amy kind of figure out. In a sense, it is similar, but not exactly the same, obviously.
That's true, but if you got an attachment, that could be another problem.
Me? The only attachment I got is my goddamn ex-wife. Other than that, I'm no attachments on me. That's the only bad attachment I still have. No. No, I'm good.
Steve in the chat room. Janet Kelly says hi, Steve.
Who says hi?
Janet Kelly is in the chat room. She said, woo-hoo,
oh,
Steve.
Janet. I love my Janet. Janet, she asked me yesterday if I have her photo. She had drew a picture. I'm a big tiger fan, and you know, actual tigers. And she drew an incredible photo for me of a tiger. She goes, oh, Steve, I just want to know, do you still have that? I'm like, you kidding me? I sent her a photo yesterday. It's in my drum room, right up on the wall, right in the middle of the wall up there. So, love Janet.
Yeah,
Janet's a sweetheart.
Yeah, we saw her in Virginia. She came down and investigated at Ferry Plantation with us last month. Short haircut. If you ever really want to get into a good conversation with Janet, talk to her about string theory. She's very versed in string theory.
No, me and Janet talk heavy metal. That's what we're all about. We're all about Metallica and that type of stuff.
Yeah, the string theory was a joke because that's usually what it goes to. She says, I got to see you with long hair. And she flipped her hair over my hair because I have that short hair now. And she's like, it's scary. And to think that
I met Janet years ago doing a benefit for Hurricane Sandy way back in 2012.
Wow.
That was shit. I was still married back then.
Ask Steve if he ever applied string theory to his homicide investigations.
No, I never did that. I've applied some other theories, but not that one.
You know, I do have a question. You know, you talked about being on the street and, you know, which may, I don't know if you knew, Chris and I worked on the other side. You found the bad guys and we housed them. We're both retired state correctional officers. And
tough job.
So
Very tough job.
I know where we're coming from on, you know, when you're looking at things. And my question is this. You say that there's really not a big, you know, there's a lot of similarities between how the people are the victim as to what it was on the street. And you kind of apply that. But, you know, the other side of it is, you know, not, you know, you walk into a house and, you know, these people, and you're doing the interview process with them and you're trying to get the investigative side of it. And, you know, there's a water bong with daisies on it in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
You know. You know,
well, that's where, yeah, a lot of my questions will come out of my overview of the you know, their living, you know, the way they live. And, you know, people will be like, oh, I've had a lot of health issues. I have trouble breathing. Yeah, you got 12 fucking cats and you haven't cleaned the house in 5 years. All right, and you wonder why you can't breathe. You know, it doesn't take a psychic to figure that one out. You know,
true.
So... you know, a lot of that, you know, and, you know, a lot of the stuff I ask gets cut, it gets edited out, and I get it. I understand why. I come across as a hard ass sometimes, and you'll never see, well, not never, you won't see a lot of that on the show. And if it's not pertinent for the whole show, because don't forget, we film 80 hours of footage a week. I film 73 hours of that. Amy films maybe 8 tops. And,
wow,
you know, that's got to get condensed into 42 to 44 minutes.
And right.
That's not a job I would want to do, ever.
No.
You know, try to edit things. So it's tough. I mean, I'll interview people for 2 hours, and there'll be 3 minutes of it on air.
Yeah, and
you
know,
that's crazy. You get the proverbial wow out of me. That's all you get. Oh, wow. Wow. I'm like, what the fuck? I got to stop saying that word wow. Every time I watch the show, all I ever hear is me saying wow. Like, fuck me. Is there any other word you can use, you know, with all the talking I've been doing?
Tina, any other questions for Steve?
Oh, I have a slew of them, but I just... It's
okay,
while
you're thinking, we got another caller. Hold on. Hi, Paranormal Collaboration.
Hello.
Hello, you have a question
Hello.
For Steve? Who's this?
This is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy.
I am just calling in to quickly say that this is by far my favorite guest ever. Ever, 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 ever. If you drop
you,
one
Marcy.
More F-bomb, I am having out of my seat. I'm so excited.
I'm sorry. When they told me I could curse, I lost my mind.
I'm ecstatic. I'm dying here. I'm like, yay, Swizz.
No, I do. And you know what? I'm very cognizant when I'm interviewing people on the show that, you know, I try not to, you know, when you try to keep things serious, when, you know, if I'm talking to a guy about, you know, like, you know, I want to kill my wife, the demons are telling me that. I'm like, hey, bro, stop the bullshit. Stop fucking around. You know, then I'll get into it. But to a woman crying, I'm not going to say, hey, fuck face, stop crying. You know, I'm not going to do that. You'll never see
yeah.
that come out of me. So I'm very cognizant of when you should drop that F-bomb.
I love it. When you were talking to Steven and you called the bartender a douche, I'm like, you had me right there. I'm good.
Oh, he was a douche. That guy was. The funny part was I called him a douche to his face. I'm like, you know what? You're nothing but a real big douche. And he's like, well, you know what? You could go drink someplace else. I'm like, I turned to Brian Kano. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. Let's, you know.
Yeah. Hands down, my favorite. Thank you.
Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Calling in, Marcy. Appreciate
it. Bring the best of the paranormal.
I'm telling you, Phil told me if I could go an entire show, every time I go a show without cursing and saying fuck, he'll give me a gold star.
That's never going to happen, Chris.
Who told her that?
That's never going to happen.
I think there was
Who
one
told her
I
that?
Said it once.
Phil?
Yeah, there was one show she didn't curse. One.
No, I think I said fuck once. I don't think I've gotten through one show without.
And it was almost to the end, and she's like, holy shit, I didn't say fuck once.
Yeah,
shake your head, roll your eyes. Yep.
I am.
I am going to sign off. I just wanted to say that.
Thank
definitely
you.
Hands down my favorite.
Happy,
my favorite.
We're happy you're enjoying
Thank you.
The show.
Well,
you
thanks for letting me cue in.
Okay. Tina, did you come up with a question?
I have tons of questions for him. Like, but that's not fair because, like, I have an advantage over him. So,
what's
like,
the advantage? Are you taller than me? Can you lift more weight? Can you lift heavier weights than me? Tell me what the advantage is. Do you know my what's coming up? What's happening? You know anything good?
Like, okay, I'll go with the kids thing.
The kids, yeah.
The kids, like, because that's the hardest thing for, I know when Chris and I walk into a situation, I'm going to go from the medium standpoint. When we go into a situation, and I'm sure Amy, because I watch her reactions also, she's a physical medium, which is a little bit different. She reacts
right.
differently than I do. So when you go into a house,
mm-hmm.
you're going in and the hair probably stands up though too, because you're assessing your situation like you should. When you go in and there's kids in that situation and you know right off the bat that maybe it's not paranormal, it's something else. Have you
mm-hmm.
ever walked out of the house and before you go to do research, you sat there and you thought, maybe this isn't paranormal. It's totally something different? And have you ever had that couple seconds where you're like, this is probably maybe a social service call or?
Yeah, a couple of times, more than a couple of times. But doesn't necessarily mean there's not paranormal happening on top of that.
Right, I understand that, but like,
yeah.
You know,
but
sometimes
yeah,
like
we've
had that.
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times, okay. More often than not, I hate to say. You know, listen, I've seen it all, you know, on the streets, so I can assess a family situation pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I talk to these kids, and I'll talk a lot of times off camera with them. Well, for legal reasons, if there's something going on, I want to know about it. And if I got to report it to the proper authorities, I want to do that as well. So I always take the extra effort and do those, get these fucking cameramen out of here because I want to talk to this kid alone. And of course, the producers and everybody are like, no, we could be something good. We could be on TV, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I want to talk to this kid. I want to, you know, see what's going on. You know, and a lot of times, afterwards, I'll tell the parent, listen, you may need to get yourselves some counseling, you know, stuff like that. And more often than not, at the reveal, Amy will pick up on it anyway, and she'll inadvertently say, you know, maybe you guys should go to some family counseling. You know what I mean? So eventually it comes out, and whether it's paranormal or not, and obviously there's some paranormal going on. But if it's a lot more the other way, we always try to steer them in the right direction. You know, I had a client that the episode hasn't aired yet, but he came on Messenger and I haven't responded to him. And I have to apologize because I get 600-700 messages a day, and he wanted to thank me for helping him. Like his life has changed 180 degrees since we did the investigation, and he's a lot better for it. And, you know, because there was other issues going on besides the paranormal, and he wanted to thank me for that. And that made me feel good. You know, it's like, all right, he got what I was talking to him about off camera, and he understood what I was saying to him and man to man. And I'm like, you know, man the fuck up, basically. And you got a family to worry about. And, you know, and he thanked me for that. And, you know, and that makes you feel good, too, because it's not always about, you know, the ghosts or whatever the hell else is going on. So to answer your question with a long, drawn-out response, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Well, Steve, we are down to, like, 10 minutes.
Okay.
And we have learned so much more about you that, you know, and I've listened to you on a bunch of different shows. And this, I love the realness. And, you know, a lot of shows are just all the same thing, asking the same questions over and over. And, you know, tonight we talked about everything, music, Marine Corps, douchebag bartenders, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try,
I'm a regular guy, and it bothers me when I meet people. And I met a woman 2 days ago in Target, and she was shaking. We took a photo together, and she was literally shaking. And I grabbed her. I said, listen, relax. I'm here buying toilet paper. I'm nobody fucking special. You know what I mean? I'm buying toilet paper. I'm buying soap. I'm a regular guy shopping in Target. You know, there's nobody cleaning my floors. It's me cleaning the floors. Nobody's doing, you know. Just because I'm on television doesn't make me anybody special, but I appreciate that you're a fan of the show. Just relax. And she did. She calmed down. She didn't know how to thank me. She gave me a big hug. And that makes you feel good, you know, because I've worked with a lot of celebrities doing security. And they're a bunch of douchebags. A lot of them are real douchebags that have been coddled and their ass kissed to the point of they actually believe the shit they read about themselves. Like, if I believed half the shit that women say about me, my head wouldn't fit through the goddamn door. You know what I mean? I'd say, oh, Steve, you're so handsome. I know I'm a fat fuck and I'm nobody special. I know that. But if you actually believe some of the shit that people write, you know, and I find that a lot of celebrities actually believe the shit that they're reading, you know. They're like, oh, yeah, I must be so fabulous that my coffee has to be at 102 degrees, no more, no less, and, you know, that kind of crap. And, you know, and I've been around those people doing security, and I swore to myself I'll never be that person. And that was way before I ever even had the connotation of being on TV. But I wasn't raised that way either. You know, I was raised very humble. And then I'm not going to change because I'm on television. I never will.
Two things in the chat room right now, real quick. One is, you're a hottie, Steve. You're on fire.
Yeah, I'm on fire. And right? The other, I just fell in my pants.
That was from Billy Bob.
And the other is
Billy Bob.
Back to Salem Con, leading the investigation with Scott Greenwald. An EVP
Love Scotty. Spirit, had a great time.
EVP spirit box session where their spirit called you a name and started swearing at you, started swearing at the spirit and challenging the spirit.
Yeah, I got a little pissed. In my defense, I was pretty fucking hammered. Just so you know, I was drinking way before and I had a flask with me. So in my defense, if I got a little feisty with a spirit. We had a good time that night, though.
So
yeah, we had a good time. Everybody's like, "What's Steven doing over there in the corner?" I'm fucking hitting the flask. I'm like, "Fuck this! I'm having a good time."
What's next for Steve?
That's a good question. Well, right now, you know, mine and Amy's and Matt's contracts were up in. Discovery Channel bought the network, bought Scripps Network that, you know, is part of the Travel Channel.
Right.
And we're in contract negotiations right now. It's not going great, but hopefully we'll get it resolved soon. I mean, we haven't filmed them since March, and this is the longest break we've ever had in 7 years. And, you know, if it works out, great. If not, I'm looking for work, so I got my resume out there, and I hope the show continues. It's out of my hands as far as, like, the people, the powers to be. You know, they make decisions, and if I'm not happy with that decision, I'm not gonna settle just to. It's a matter of pride. You know, I've worked very hard for the last 8 years, and. It is what it is, you know. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll come to resolve hopefully within the next week. And I'll do a live Facebook thing and tell the fans, yeah, we're scheduled to do a season 11, hopefully season 12 after that as well. And, you know, it's just a lull in the void right now. We're just working things out. So hopefully things will work out and we'll be back filming soon. And I got to tell you, Discovery Channel has done a great job. They've actually advertised us now. They put us back on Friday nights, which is great. They're doing this Dead Files Revealed with pop-up stuff, you know, on old episodes. I'm pretty confident it's going to work out one way or another. And hopefully I'll be back filming next month, hopefully, sometime. And I keep the fans apprised on Facebook and Twitter. And I've been staying away from Twitter. It's just too political for me. I'm fed up with it. Even Facebook's getting ridiculous. So my new go-to is Instagram. I'm a big fan of Instagram. So.
Okay. So if people want to get in touch with you, best way is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Instagram,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, Instagram most. I love Instagram because, you know, I can get to be goofy on it, and it's just a fun website. You know, it's a fun social media site. It's not too political right now. If it changes, I hope to God it doesn't, because between Twitter and Facebook, I'm so fed up with the political crap. You know, I keep my politics to myself. People probably should understand where I come from. I mean, I'm a former Marine. I'm a retired New York City detective. I'm not really about, you know, left, so to speak. You know, I'm pretty moderate. I'm in the middle. So I just don't want to get involved in it because it's a fight you can't win. When it comes to politics, it's a fight you can't win. So
absolutely.
I stay clear and I just keep it fun and jovial on all my social media as much as I can.
Awesome. And you know what? You've been very real with us tonight. And
I appreciate
and I totally
that.
Appreciate that. We got 3 minutes left. There's one last thing. There's a question. Someone in the chat room said, ask him about the laser grid disco dancing.
Laser grid disco dancing. Well, you know, it might have been something I did a few years ago when I was no, I don't know what the hell that's about. But I did have a laser light when I was living in the condo in Fort Myers when I first moved down to Florida. And I had this disco laser light thing going on in my condo, and I turn that fucker on, and I just sit there and I just put music on and just dance a little. So I don't know if that's what they're talking about, but I was on the 29th floor, so nobody could see me dancing naked. Thank God, because I would have had Greenpeace out. I would have had Greenpeace out there trying to save me. So thank God that didn't happen.
Well, Steve,
damn.
This has been
a fucking great show.
It's been a great show. You know, we're truly blessed and honored and thankful that you joined us tonight.
And we hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
Absolutely, you guys were a lot of fun. I enjoyed being on the show. I really did. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
And you know, we're appreciative that you accepted to be on. And you know, we know you do have a busy schedule. You're feeding the fish. You're sweeping up centipedes.
I got tiki hut problems. I got all kinds of shit going on. I'm hanging up signs in my garage at 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm drinking espresso at freaking 11 o'clock.
I did see
I'm
those
like,
signs
what, you know, what,
this morning. Those are pretty cool signs that you posted up there.
How funny are those things? I saw those at a flea market. And I bought all of them. I'm like, I need one of each. The guy goes, okay. Everybody loves the zombie one. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Everybody's into the zombie thing. I thought the zombie one
was
cool, but you had some good ones.
Listen, I got plenty of ammo. I got plenty of toilet paper and ammo for the zombie apocalypse. So if anybody needs help, just come by me.
Everybody said thank you so much. They definitely enjoyed the show. This is one that they're going to replay again and again, they said. So we thank you guys for listening. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reif. Our guest next week is another, he's not a former police officer, he is still a police officer. He is the chief of police of Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Our good friend Mike King will be joining us next week. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to, you know, bring you, you know, the real side of the paranormal. And, you know, it's great just to, you know, to chat and everyone gets to be themselves. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you,
tonight.
And give Mike my best. Tell him to be safe.
I will.
And appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Well, thank you
for being here, Steve. It's been great.
Have a wonderful day, Steve. Have
you
a bourbon
too, guys.
For me.
Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
I will. You're welcome, honey. Bye, bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reif. You can find us on TuneIn, iTunes, iHeartRadio,
and
Block Talk
Radio.
So good night, everybody. We'll see
good
you
night,
next
everyone.
Monday night.